And we are back with episode 680 of The Critical Myth. I'm John, your host, and tonight we have...
Edmund from Greenville, and there you go again. It just takes a good woman or two to break up a silly argument.
Cool toys always pay off.
Hey, wouldn't it be really awkward if you went to a movie and as you were watching it, you were thinking to yourself, I could have written this exact same story and made it a hell of a lot better and probably about an hour shorter. I find that a little awkward. I don't know about you. But hey, we're actually going to be talking about perhaps an example of just that in just a few minutes as we are wrapping up this week and preparing to actually take off, as I go into a little bit of a programming note here, for a week for, not the Easter holiday necessarily, but no, we have a little bit of other things going on this weekend. So this will be the last show for a week, and we'll be back shortly thereafter. But we'll get into a little bit of why later. But for now, we are going to be talking about this little movie that came out and made an awful lot of money and got really, really bad reviews called Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice. So before we talk about any of that, Edmund, if you please.
If you haven't seen it, we'll talk about all sorts of things that will spoil you. However, in my case, I read a bunch of them beforehand and it didn't really matter for me. So it's up to you.
That's right. That's right. Quite frankly, there are a lot of people that read a lot of reviews before they went out to go see this movie, and they still went in droves. Lots and lots of them. I'm actually going to bring up some point in this discussion the current tally of exactly how much money this movie has made worldwide. But let's start off here with general impressions. I think you probably already have figured out mine. But Gary, how about you?
This movie was trying to do a lot of things all at the same time, some successfully, some not successfully. I think, believe it or not, it actually achieved what the original thought of the movie was before everything got tacked on. So good and bad, yes.
All right. And how about you, Edmund?
My main impression was, I guess perhaps somewhat similar to Gary. There were certain things going on here that I thought could be good ideas in terms of sort of trying to take the DC heroes and seeing what they could how they would actually work in a present day modern universe, but yeah, it wound up feeling way too stretched out and serious.
Well, I think that in some ways you guys are being very nice and measured about it, and I appreciate that. My general impression was exactly what I said at the beginning. This movie could have been a lot shorter, could have been written a lot better. There were things that it did okay, and there are other things that made me scratch my head and wonder just what were they thinking. But let's go ahead and start with the one that I am most curious about here, and I'm going to talk about characterization. In particular, I'd want to know, first of all, does anybody here think that Superman actually had a characterization in this movie? And secondly, was it actually... Superman, Gary.
Okay, well, how long is the show tonight? Well, I've made no illusions as to I really have serious issues with Snyder's interpretation of Superman. I think back to if somebody had told me 10 years ago all these movies were coming out and that DC was going to be the dark, gritty, grimy ones, I would have laughed your ass off. Laughed my ass off because – No, DC could never be dark, gritty, and morose. You know, Marvel handles all that sort of stuff. Yet here we are 10 years later, and it's the exact opposite. We're talking about dark, grimy, gritty DC superheroes, and not some of the eyeball guy, but, you know, the big people, or the big toys, as some people refer to them. And I'm just, again, shocked. I agree that Superman... even if you want to go with the characterization that was in here, was very poor, lacklustered. I can't even say iconic because that would apply a higher standard than I really want to give to the characterization. He really was not integral in many ways to this movie at all. But that being said, they did make some slight efforts, I felt, to change Superman's sort of – motivation a little bit. He at this point was actually trying to do a little good, it seemed like, where he was, I don't know if he realized he screwed up or just that he wanted to do better but I did have a little bit of that sense about the character. From a visual point of view, I appreciated that they made his suit a little bit brighter in colorization, and I don't want to say it helped, but it definitely didn't distract me the way that the darker suit did from Man of Steel. And it just seemed like he was a clueless idiot. Superman, depending on his characterization, borders from somebody with just an innate sense of the right thing to do to being someone extremely smart who actually, you know, already figured out what he needs to do because he's ran it through a bunch of times in his head. And, you know, different characterizations work for different authors and storylines, but this didn't have any of it. He seemed like a more of a hulking brute than any type of, you know, intelligent person. And I like the idea that Superman knows the right thing to do. This guy didn't seem to know anything to do.
Yeah. Before I get into it, Edmund, how about you?
When I was referring to the sort of what I was seeing is this slightly different take on it. I definitely got the sense of them playing with or Zack Snyder playing with Superman being the this new kid on the scene, and both in terms of his reactions to things and the society's reactions. It was this whole sense of oh no, we only just realized aliens were here, but it did mean that, yes, compared to the classic rendition of Superman, he did seem out of it and clueless for much of the time.
My beef with it is that I feel like for all that his personality and his motivations were set up in Man of Steel, I don't think there was a whole lot that was advanced in this film at all. I feel like he was, as Gary said, kind of a bit player in this movie. He really was only there as a foil, someone to kind of bounce against Batman. This felt like a movie that started as the sequel to Man of Steel and became just a way to reboot Batman into this new DC. What are they calling it? The DC
Extended Universe.
EU, the DCEU Extended Universe, right? I just the whole time I was sitting back and thinking to myself that they never really gave him good reasons for doing any of the things he was doing. He was reactive the entire time, including right to the very end. Any scene that had him in it was never really about him so much as what others were doing and how he was choosing to react to it. He never actually had. Really, anything like you said, he was just kind of there. He played a part, I guess, but he never really showed much personality.
I've read that some writers have a difficult time writing him because of his near omnipotence or his power set is so far above the average person that, you know, they often are challenged to write him and will dumb him down to this sort of, you know, hulking Neanderthal smash kind of guy because they don't know how to handle him right. And that's sort of what echoed to me in this movie a little bit. We don't know what to do with him, so we'll just have him fly around and hit things.
The thing is, as you bring that up, I'm thinking that to a certain extent, it was the same thing with Batman, where we have yet another iteration of the parents being shot, him, you know, falling down the well, and then we jump to where Batman is now, and it's it's sort of rebooting it, or advancing him into the later Frank Miller version, who did get a major thanks in the credits for those of us who stuck around for them, at the same time, he's almost trying to imply it's like, oh yeah, those other films you saw, they might have happened in between this, but we're not really going to say that or be clear about that, he's just out there as this big bat vigilante now, but we're not necessarily filling in those dots either.
No, and that's okay. So as far as Batman goes, because that's exactly where I was going next.
Yeah,
there's this weird thing going on there. First of all, the stuff from the very beginning of the movie was practically shot for shot what they did in Dark Knight Returns, the actual comic. So that was Snyder playing his little game that he did with Watchmen. Okay, yeah. Fine. That's great. But then what got me was I could buy the idea that Batman has been out there doing his thing for a while, and the the fight between Zod and Superman in Man of Steel kind of broke him.
Mm-hmm.
Like it sent him down a more psychotic path. I could buy that if we had seen who he was before, and we haven't. This particular Batman, we haven't seen who he was previously. And what's really strange to me is it seems like no one else has either. In certain cases, at least, there are people who act like he's been around forever, like Bruce and Alfred and quite a few other people talking about Gotham and so forth. Everybody knows about the bat signal and everything else. But then there are people that act like, oh my God, who is the Batman? What is going on? There's this new vigilante out there. Wait a second. They say in the movie he's been around for 20 years. Make up your mind. Even if you're a new guy on the beat, you're going to know, because that's one of the first things that you would have known growing up, was that there was this vigilante called the Batman. What's new here is that he's stepping up the violence. He's actually straight out murdering people. That's a new thing for Batman, using guns and so forth. It's not new in Dark Knight Returns, but it is new for Batman as a character that's supposed to have this history. And so for me, that was the thing, was that they're trying to jump to a point in the history that doesn't make sense. I mean, it's the exact opposite. It's everything that we said was the problem with being the exact opposite of what Marvel's done with their movies. Marvel set up the universe and then did the Avengers. They're trying to go backwards, and that didn't work for me at all. It's like be consistent with one vision or the other. It's got to be either he's new, just like Superman, or he's been around and he's reacting to the arrival of Superman. They kind of tried to play it both ways. What do you think, Gary?
As I was alluding to earlier, this was originally supposed to be a Batman film. That's how it was going to start off, and I think they did a good job. I see what you're saying about the inconsistencies about whether he's new or not, and I thought they made enough of a case to show that he'd been around the block for 20 years, and perhaps maybe hadn't been as active lately. At least that's how I sort of wanted to read it a little bit, and so I liked it. It gave me a new sort of look into the psyche of Batman, and in a new and fresh way. And I have to say, I kind of liked it. And I know what you're saying, that he sort of got more violent and more obsessed. I think that might have been, at least I had a sense that he hadn't actively been being Batman prior to this, where it had sort of slacked off a little bit. So now, maybe now that he's getting back into the Batman role, these might have been the problems that he was dealing with, why he had stopped, or at least not been as active. And that might explain why people might not be currently familiar with him, because he hadn't been out in the limelight. I want to use the word retired, like he had stopped doing it. And, you know, without going too far down the rabbit hole, you know, we see the history, some of his history in the Batcave, and, you know, what appears to be Robin's memorial uniform. And maybe that was the event that did it. We don't know, but I got a sense maybe he had stepped back a little bit, and Superman made him come back into the, limelight a lot stronger than he used to. Even some of the lines, like, you know, he never did that. Like what, like the cops, like with the branding, where the one cop would have to say to the other cop, he doesn't do stuff like that, because the other cop, what, wasn't familiar with him. So, you know, like I said, at least that was my read on the whole situation. But I have to say, I thought Ben Affleck did an incredibly good job with the character. And I like the idea that Batman is slightly psychotic, and that's sort of what drives him, not only to be at his athletic peak that he is, but, you know, to keep going after all these different guys and staying up all night hunting down, you know, leads and stuff like that. I think you have to be a little bit more than just have good thoughts in your heart to clean up the city. I think you have to be a little disturbed to go to the lengths that he goes to. So I really enjoyed that take on it, that he's not, you know, completely stable. And maybe this whole Superman thing did push him over the edge, but he was on that edge for a long time, I think.
Maybe I just would have liked to have seen a little bit more evidence to that effect.
Yes.
I do agree with you, however, that Affleck was one of the best things about the movie. And I feel bad for the guy, because he actually was doing that. Like, he deserves a lot more credit for what he did with what he had. It's just, the problem is, like you said, this started off as a movie that should have been all about him, and it turned out trying to be about 17 other things.
It's like I said, it was a great Batman movie. I don't get the Superman section at all, and a nice Wonder Woman vignette.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think maybe we all agree that Wonder Woman got a good introduction. As I said to someone else who was saying, well, you know, is there really going – because they said there's going to be a big difference in terms of the tone of the solo Wonder Woman movie versus this movie. And I said, well, are they actually going to give her some characterization, because she was able to kick some ass and be a little bit mysterious, but they really didn't give her enough time to do more than that.
No.
Unfortunately, but which is sad. What I did also find funny is that somebody showed a picture of Captain America using his shield and Wonder Woman using her shield and going like, he covers himself with the shield. he hides behind said shield. She barely moves the shield. And it's like, you don't really need it. Why are you carrying it? But anyway, little things like that. You can definitely see what the intent was as far as Wonder Woman was concerned in this film. So I don't know that I'm really too worried about that. But any additional thoughts on that, Edmund?
I mean, I completely agree that yes, I mean, she was just there to be the mysterious femme fatale, and then the big reveal that all of us were waiting for. But that leads us into this whole thing of okay, so this whole little clandestine spy operation just to get a flash drive that gives us previews.
Yes.
I mean,
that's right.
So no, it's not to actually, get vital information to try and take down this villain. It's like, no, it's just to give us something we can double click on a laptop and tell us what's coming up.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the World War One Wonder Woman event.
I really would like to see what that's all about.
Yes.
Far more than I would to see another one exactly like this. Okay, so I think we can all agree, Batman serviced fairly well if they could have used just a little bit more context for him. Probably the time that they spent not giving Superman equal billing or equal attention. Now, that being said, I think that there's two big things that kind of wrecked this film beyond the imbalance there. The first one being Lex Luthor.
Yes.
Well, I thought we had a very interesting take on Joker, and I would have really loved to see Lex Luthor at some point.
Yeah, right? Yes.
Because I didn't see Lex Luthor. I saw a slightly watered-down Joker who worked very well as a nemesis against Batman. and strung him along a little bit. But I did not see Lex Luthor in any of the variety of versions that you want to see him cast, anywhere from sleazy kingpin-like businessman through a super scientist through a kid who just knows how to make things happen in a laboratory. We really didn't see any of those guys. He wasn't scientific. He wasn't – he really didn't solve anything on his own as far as I know. And like I said, he was pretty much psychotic through the whole show. So pretty much just fits my definition of Joker.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a feeling that they wanted that. And for whatever reason, didn't go with it. I don't know. See, back after Man of Steel, one of the things that we kind of threw out there as kind of like one of the best case scenarios for this film was, or at least the sequel to that was, that Lex Luthor would be brought into the story because he would be essentially convincing the government to put all these anti-Superman measures into place and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I thought that we had the DNA of that.
Yeah.
I really did. And then Lex Luthor turned out to be, like you said, Gary, kind of like the Joker, but not. And a pretty sad one, for that matter. I could almost see him being a reflection of Batman in terms of what Superman has done to people. But yeah, it's like they tried to make Lex the Joker for Superman. And that's not the way it's supposed to work. And yeah, it just threw me off completely trying to reconcile those two. And his motivations, again, made no sense whatsoever, unless you just assume he's completely insane and therefore his motivations don't have to make sense, which I guess works, but it just was weak. It's like there's so much more you could have done with Lex.
Can somebody explain to me what adding his blood into the regeneration matrix was supposed to do?
It was supposed to make Bizarro turn into Doomsday? I don't know.
I don't know either. And if they... I just really have no idea why we needed that hand-cutting blood scene before it happened. I just...
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. Edmund, you seem to agree that Lex could have been handled far better to make the movie far better.
Oh, absolutely. Because one thing that I found intriguing about certainly the opening of the movie was, you know, after all the back and forth after Man of Steel of, you know, one of the things that I reacted to was, them just wanton destruction of Metropolis with all of these casualties, et cetera. And then there were people going, oh, no, you heard the newscaster saying it was deserted, you know, or evacuated or whatever, you know, and then, you know, coming back and, you know, and actually showing that, you know, no, people were actually in these buildings and, you know, and getting killed, et cetera. And, from the bits and pieces I saw of the trailers, since I didn't see all of them, I saw some of them, you know, and with Holly Hunter coming in, you know, as the senator, you know, and I really thought that's the way they were going to go in terms of, you know, no, you know, we have to try and rein this guy in after all this destruction that's been caused. You know, yes, despite the fact, yes, he saved us from the aliens, but look at the cost. And that seemed the obvious place for Luther to step in and say, you know, well, you know, yes, have him be one of the skyscrapers that was demolished or labs demolished, etc., and and be the scientist industrialist who could come in and say, you know, yes, you know this, it was horrible what happened to my people, you know, and oh, I might have a plan to help us rein this in. Even though to some extent that might have been treading into, you know, some of that old original X-Files trilogy territory, but it certainly seemed to be the place they could go here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it exactly. It's like all those pieces were just sitting there, and then they decided not to pick them up and put them together.
Yeah.
Or they just decided to go make a monster to trounce it. And that brings me to the part that I feel like failed this movie the biggest, the most, I guess you could say. And that's, okay, you kind of had a compelling story with a weak villain at the center for most of the movie. You kind of got me with the whole, let's have these two get talked into fighting, even though the guy who did it is clearly psycho and could have done it far better. Okay, you get them to fight. They decide in about 30 seconds to stop fighting. Like instantly,
yes.
After they actually talk to one another, which, wow, what an obvious way to solve the problem.
Yeah, and when they're really close to talking to each other right at the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. and so what happens after that is approximately 20 to 30 minutes of CGI fest.
Yes.
That looks and feels like nothing we've seen previously in the movie. So distractingly fake that I completely lost any interest in what was actually happening. Not only that, but it made no sense whatsoever why people were doing what they were doing. Okay, so you've got this spear made of kryptonite.
Yes.
Right, okay. Now, you've got, of the three people in this room, or in this battle, yes, you've got one person who is deadly allergic to it.
Yeah.
You've got another person who is basically just standing around in an armor suit going, how did I get to this party?
Yeah, and when can I fire my one weapon?
Yes, exactly. And then you've got the third person who has demonstrated the ability to essentially fly, is practically impervious.
Yes.
And probably,
has already scored numerous strikes on the creature.
Yes, and kind of has this look to her that says, give me a spear already?
Yes.
Who of those three do you give said super weapon against the CGI monster?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No,
and also elevated that character's role in the movie there.
Oh, yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Almost given her a reason for being there.
Mm-hmm. Almost. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Almost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Inexplicable. Completely except yes, for the fact that clearly Zack Snyder, one of his things was that I want to do
the death of Superman.
Dark Knight Returns. Yes. I want to do death of Superman.
Yes.
They do it crappily, by the way. Anyway.
Yeah.
Gary, any other thoughts on that final act?
Well, yeah. I mean, the power levels that Wonder Woman were showing were pretty much on par with Superman's, which, well, I don't doubt they're trying to portray her as very capable to elevate her to that kind of level. Again, as I mentioned with Superman, sort of makes it hard for her to write because what are you going to bring up against her?
Sexism. That's about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it was really sort of out of bounds, and I honestly had wished that Batman had been more involved in that somehow, that they managed to maybe keep Doomsday's power levels to the point where he could sort of still stay in the fight as opposed to just cower behind walls and different vehicles and things like that. But especially since he had such a prominent role up to that point, it was disappointing. And as I said, this several sections of this movie felt tacked together or added on, and this was definitely one of them. You talk about editing the movie. This easily could have been out of the movie and still had it stand on its own two legs. I don't know if the comic book people needed this big knockdown, drag-out fight with Superman and Wonder Woman, because, as you said, Batman wasn't involved. So, I'll only beat the drum so much. But I question the fundamental structure of where he was trying to get with this movie. Mm-hmm. It had so many random chaotic pieces. Is this – he knows the whole big picture of what he wants to do, and he needed to get these different elements into the mix for some reason. And so this is all just set up, maybe. I'm not quite sure, not sure if he knew, and he's just trying to throw everything he can up there and sees what sticks and what they can work with in the future, and the rest of the stuff will just go fallow.
Maybe. I guess – I don't know. The thing is that you could take so many of these elements – sorry, I'll let
– go ahead. Absolutely. Yeah.
You could take all these elements, and if you took half the time that he spent doing slow-mo cool, awesome shots – and put that time into actually having people say things to add some context to what's going on, it would have improved the film immeasurably. I really mean it when I say that you could take the exact same plot elements, rearrange them a bit, maybe recast one role, or at least direct him differently, and cut a good half hour to 45 minutes off of this film, and it would have been 1,000 times better. And you wouldn't have to necessarily change the plot. You just change how they get there. And I think it would have been okay, but it's just these logical problems that are going on for me. It's like, no, why? Wonder Woman, like you said, you just set her up as basically Supergirl. That's all you did. You didn't. There's nothing unique about her other than the fact that she's been around forever, and she is practically invulnerable. Okay.
I would have loved to have seen a Batman Wonder Woman tag off team where one Superman could keep fighting, but then they had to sort of trade off because they're getting pummeled so hard.
When it was down to the level of two actors kind of bouncing off of each other, and you could have had three, because again, my problem with the way that Wonder Woman was there is that she was so mysterious as to not even show who she really was as a person. She was just there to be there. So you had, when it was Batman versus Superman, and they were kind of moving against each other, or at least kind of trying they were kind of circling each other for a while. The drama was at least there to a degree. The minute that it turned into them versus Doomsday, it was just them fighting a CGI creature. It was a music video. That's what it turned into. And it was not even a good one. That I could not engage with that, with the CGI construct at all. I just couldn't. There was no, like, I was like, I don't care. And then you kill off Superman, really.
Well, and to even go with that, the whole country was up in arms about Superman a few days before this. Now all of a sudden there's a national mourning. Heck, I'd imagine most people would be grateful he's gone.
Yeah.
with the sentimentality we were going into the movie with.
They would have been thankful that he managed to leave this earth without having another high casualty rate in the process.
Well, that's not true. weren't they blowing up that whole area multiple times?
This time they made sure to say it was uninhabited.
Yes. That was hilarious.
Yes.
Let's not go out of the city. Let's still stay there, but at least
there's a
rundown
whole,
area. Yeah.
Whole other freaking parts of the planet that they could have gone, literally right across the river, but that's okay.
Anyhow, the
thing that gets me here again is that he'll take the time to ensure that no one is going to criticize him for allowing Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman to kill off thousands of people in their battle indiscriminately.
But he said that was fine.
He does that, but he won't take the time to actually put any of this activity taking place in any kind of like context. He doesn't have characters say things that they naturally would say in the middle of a situation like this. He doesn't have them communicate at all during the battle. There's no coordination there. They're all acting completely out of, there's a couple times where they do things a little bit where they're quote unquote working together, but really they're not. They're just fighting at the same time against the same foe. That's about as much coordination as you get. And Batman looks completely out of his element.
Right.
So they didn't even scale the enemy at the end so that all three of them had some piece that they brought to the table to defeat him.
No,
he was a distraction.
He had the little gas grenade. Pink.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And he did make the spear. So I guess he had his part in that.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, Superman couldn't even get himself out of the pool when he was next to the Kryptonite spear before, yet he could fly all that way.
This is what got to me about the, I had my fingers crossed at the end there when they had the whole getting the spear out of the pool, and you know, we've already seen what Wonder Woman could do. I really thought that was going to be the final, you know, bit of teamwork in terms of, you know, whichever way they did it of, you know, yes, it's obviously incapacitating him. She steps up and actually, you know, hurls the, you know, whichever way they do it, hurls the sphere, flies the spear, and, you know, and then to have him do it and then have it be, you know, oh yes, this little handy claw that I just grew is going to be the thing that takes out Superman. I mean, that really did get to me, you know, because I really thought I was having the same reaction as you, is, you know, like, yes, they're just, you know, sort of randomly hitting him, and it's like, okay, so now we're going to get the bit of teamwork at the end, and then it's like, no, he's just going to magically fly it in.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It was completely unnecessary to have that, as far as I'm concerned. The ending was a complete mess, and yeah, I don't know. Gary, what else do you feel like needs discussion for this film?
Alfred. Alfred was kick-ass in this movie.
Yes.
Can I just get a whole Alfred film?
More Alfred. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, after all the iterations of Alfred we've had, having Jeremy Irons as the cynical, world-weary Alfred was absolutely fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
That was really enjoyable. And just to extra hate Zack Snyder, I've been told that little setup thing with Lois in the, I will say, terrorist camp, because I don't know what nationality we're actually supposed to be in. The person who basically was the CIA agent has been revealed that was actually Jimmy Olsen, and he killed him off.
Yes, that has been confirmed.
thank you, Mr. Snyder. If you don't want to play with the toys, why are you taking them out of the bin? I just don't care.
Yeah, I really didn't. The thing that gets me about Snyder, and the problem is that I kind of was rooting for the guy. It's like, come on, you know, like you got kind of pounded for some of the decisions that you made in Man of Steel. Come out of the gate with this one with a much more substantial, thoughtful film. I know that it's Batman versus Superman, but there are ways that they could have, the DNA was there, like I said, the pieces were all there to actually do something kind of interesting with it.
And they had amazing source material. You know, we're joking right now, but you know, of course, you know, Dark Knight Returns has been, you know, won umpteen awards over the decades for being such a great idea of Batman. Even the death of Superman was a bit of a shock that that they'd done that, and you know, that was rather well received. And they're writing all these good storylines, and they just can't seem to bring it together.
Right, exactly. I don't understand why. It's just,
this whole thought of so Batman can't have a Robin and Superman can't have a friend. I'm like, you know, it's not only that the situations are darker; you're intentionally turning the switch down. Oh, let's dim more.
And the thing is that there were opportunities for them to get a little bit more, not comedic, but at least lighten up a little bit.
Well, yeah, like when they were at the, at the charity event, and they actually met each other, and all we got out of that whole, most of that was that corny line by Lex Luthor, where you could have actually had them sort of, you know, have like a half a minute conversation, mm-hmm. and, you know, and sort of get along or something like that, which would make the rivalry at first, and then their, their rapprochement, work make much even more sense, because they know who each other are and things like that, and they had that moment where they were friendly with each other, but we didn't get that either.
I would have expected that, given how often they actually did a nice job of showing Batman as a detective, that they would have let him work out for himself that he was being played.
Mm-hmm.
And use that somehow. That I thought was going to play in, and then it didn't. They could have then taken that and played up more the fact that Alfred was maybe putting some of the pieces together and Bruce wasn't listening, and then using that psychotic side of things a little bit more. The fact that Bruce had really just lost it over what had happened, and the fact that he was being blamed for the destruction and the inability to do anything about it, which again was Lex messing with him. So Lex, for someone who was so imbalanced, did occasionally do some pretty interesting things psychologically with Bruce and with Clark, but he never took it nearly as far as he could have to actually show that he was a mastermind. He just was kind of doing things. That's all he was there for, to just push the quote-unquote plot along. We keep repeating a few things here, but I think that what is clear is that this was a movie that could have been much better if it had gotten someone other than Zack Snyder and his team to put the pieces together.
Yeah, I'll say again that you could have easily pulled the Batman section out, and that would have been a very good film by itself. And while people would have said it needed more exposition, which I can see your point, John, it still would have stood well. But then to cram in both the Superman angle and almost unfortunately the Wonder Woman angle, which was almost completely superfluous, you know, sort of dragged it down and had it make less sense as a narrative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I think maybe they are. Where I feel like the fact that they're trying to jumpstart and really cheat their way into creating the DCEU, they have got to come up with better. Anyway, I think that's where this failed the film most. They could have had a separate Batman film. They could have had a separate Man of Steel 2 film that had the you know, and they could have cross-pollinated a little bit both of them if they really wanted to. But they didn't need to do both of them at the same time. Because here's my thought. They could have taken the route of – really what it is that if they had not turned the ending of this film into a Superman – Death of Superman homage, because it really wasn't even more than that, it might have worked. Had the film been almost entirely shown from the point of view of Batman, it could have worked, like you said, Gary. Having Superman still be there almost in some way, shape or form. But this is just getting to my point. We could rearrange this in a few different ways and have it be a better film. Period. Edmund, any last thoughts?
All that's popping into my head is just my rearrangement is that no, you don't need the final CGI battle. You don't need Wonder Woman. Having Lex, you know, having a film about Lex Luthor manipulating Batman and Superman into a battle that they feel forced into, and then realize that oh no, wait a minute, why are we fighting each other? He's the bad guy. Is a perfectly good film.
Mm-hmm.
And establishes characters far better, and you know, and also you know, I mean, if it's not done with you know Jesse Eisenberg being you know Zuckerberg mixed with Joker, you know, is you know, if it is Lex Luthor more in his. You know, slightly mad scientist, but, you know, established businessman, manipulative guy is far more interesting, I think.
I agree. I think that, if you had then had another layer of what Lex was trying to achieve, that would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Where
it's Lex realizing it's like, oh no, you know, I need to get rid of at least one of these guys. Let me just put them against each other. You know, I'll lose one of them.
or have the fact that they're battling be, you know, like there's actually something like they almost got there where he pushed the two of them together, not just to eliminate one or the other, but almost because it would open a door for him to do something else, which could then lead into, you know, mm-hmm. future. Or it's like, even if it was just the fact that they find out that he's been using the resources of the government in order to get these two, you know, to arrange these two to get into a fight because he's simply gathering data on these folks, you know, like trying to find ways to enhance the government's ability to control both of them by seeing mm-hmm. what they both do to counter each other. Something like that, you know, make it a mastermind of not just, you know, a simple villainy type of thing, but make it the fact that Lex himself thinks he's doing the right thing.
Right.
Because so often the best Lex Luthor stories are the ones where he thinks he's doing something great for humanity. He thinks he's this, you know, he's doing things, something for himself. But this is a guy who supposedly tries to run for president because he thinks he's the only one who can do the job right, among other things. I mean,
I can't imagine how that wouldn't be topical nowadays.
Right?
Oh, that's just nonsense.
Oh, come on. But you see what I mean? Again, we're sitting here writing a better movie out of the DNA of what's already there. Gary, your thoughts, any last thoughts on this?
I guess you sort of summed it up that this movie really was an attempt for them to play catch up. And while we didn't go into it too much, and I won't actually, but you know, they also were attempting to introduce the future Justice League members as well. And I like the fact that Luther also developed little logos for each one of them, which was a nice thing for him to do in his spare time. Yes. But yeah, I think they were just trying to accomplish too much with this movie. And it just shows that it's bursting with multiple good ideas, but having to cram them together just makes them fall apart.
That's the one piece of this I don't understand at all. What in the world was he doing with all that? Because that's where my mind went with the whole idea of he's studying them, right? To find ways to counter them.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of said things that made me think that's where he was going with this. And then it's like, well, why does he have all these little preview videos from, you know, the teaser trailers for the movies coming up in a few years if he doesn't have any bait? Like, what is he doing? Like, why is that there? Why? I don't get it. It was never explained at all. I don't think they even know why. I think they did that just to have a reason for there to be teasers for what's going to come. Oh, and there's one other thing I want to throw into this mix. What was going on with that whole thing with the Flash and his warnings to Bruce? Gary, you got any ideas on that?
Wait, what was this again?
Okay. Well, it's going to lead into yet another complaint I have about the film. But the first thing is that there was, during one of his many weird, like, flashbacks, quote-unquote, hallucinations, well, whatever you want to call them.
Dream sequences, yes. I took them as.
Yes. Bruce has this weird encounter with the Flash, where to me, it looked exactly like a situation where the Flash was coming back from the future to warn Bruce about something that was coming. Do you remember this scene at all?
Yeah. I had taken that to be something to the extent of that Bruce realizes that that's sort of the revelation that he needs to get these other people together to help him, that he can't do it all himself.
Hmm. Okay.
Or at least that, you know, that he need, you know, that, you know, that these people will contribute in some way.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Edmund, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, after the earlier dream sequence, which was more obviously a dream sequence, I mean, you know, I mean, once that came along, it just really seemed to be a case of CGI and going over the top, just really taking precedence again. I mean, you know, if the intent was to try and reinforce, you know, the yes, we're going to have to form into a league of some sort. It was being presented much too incoherently for me.
That gets to the point that I was going to make, that they had this whole sequence of Bruce kind of dreaming about the future.
Yeah, but the thing that got to me was the fact that it opened up with sort of you know his fears about how what Superman would be at his worst.
Yeah, and instead it was also playing this game of showing, or at least alluding to, it's Darkseid, right, Gary?
Yes.
Yeah.
Darkseid.
Yeah. Darkseid. Yes. Darkseid. Whatever people say it, but yeah. Because it had the Omega symbol, and then it had the flying demon-y things that...
Yeah, the parademons.
Okay, thank you.
Even my kids were like, what the heck are those?
Yeah.
Because my kids knew what they were, but they're like, why?
It, like you said, Edmund, it started off kind of alluding because all the soldiers had the Superman symbol on their arms.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me think, oh, he's envisioning a world or a future where Superman has essentially taken over everything.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's in any way kind of aligns with the way that Darkseid stories go, but there are certain things that, yeah, I didn't think so, and also there are certain things that are very clearly alluding to Darkseid and all that kind of stuff that I just have to wonder, like, why in the world would Bruce, and if he's imagining this horrible potential future, have such specific things in there that he could not possibly know about? all because he watched these teaser trailers that Lex had on his computer. It didn't make a damn bit of sense.
Yes.
And it just kind of dropped in there with no content, with like no intro, no outro, really, no nothing. It was just there, just to be there. Just to maybe for Zack Snyder to prove how cool it would look if they could do that story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's like, yeah, cut that out. Get rid of it. I want to go back to the people who complained about the scene with Thor in the cave during Age of Ultron and show them this movie and go, you want to take it back? Because guess what? This is so much more egregious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And thinking back on it now, I mean, it was that whole thing. I mean, in terms of the way it started, I mean, it was sort of like, just a take on, what had happened in the desert at the beginning, where, now, so it's mercenaries and terrorists and, and he gets betrayed, but it was when, I don't know the history, when the flying thing started coming in. And that was the point where it's, as you're now confirming, it's like, yes, okay, this is stuff that he shouldn't really know anything about. If it had just been, a bunch of terrorists just betrayed me and Superman is coming in and killing all my Confederates and, then it's just straight Batman paranoia fantasy. But to throw all the other stuff in there, and then the way it just kept going, it just felt, just completely unjustified. And, calling this film inconsistent just seems redundant at this point, but it was that whole thing of like, no, you went just, one or two dream sequences too far here.
Yeah, I would say so. Wow. The other thing that I see here is the inevitable fallout. First of all, it did great on Friday, and then this has broken a record for the biggest drop off from Friday to Sunday in an opening weekend, which speaks volumes.
Yeah, this is what I was waiting for. I mean, after those big opening numbers, it's like, yes, but all these other films that went on and on and on had legs. I'm not sure how much leg this is going to have.
Yes. And not only that, but they are now saying that they're going to be doing major reshoots of Suicide Squad because of the negative reviews and response to the quote-unquote lack of humor in Batman vs. Superman. So not only did they not learn their lesson from Deadpool being, an R-rated success and the fact that they were questioning, why don't you make Suicide Squad more like Deadpool? Now they're really saying, why don't you make it more like Deadpool? Because they are saying it's too much like Batman vs. Superman, which was just unremittingly dour. Or as one person put it in one of the articles I was reading, can you show me where the actual heroes were?
Ooh.
Yes. And they... It is true. And they were harping the most on Superman. But anyway, you guys, what are your thoughts on that? And I have to step away for a moment, so please get into however much detail you'd like.
Well, I've got to say, I'm intrigued by this since I assume the Suicide Squad trailer showed before the screening you saw as well, and it at least seemed to be the case that there was at least a teeny tiny bit of humor in Suicide Squad.
Well, I always thought that's what Harlequin was brought in to give those little funny quips that the character's typically known for. That
exactly
might even be dark, but at the same time, they still do have a bit of humor about them. And honestly, it's supposed to be a bunch of assassins that are taken out of jail and sent to go kill people and accomplish things.
Yes.
And I guess, you can put comedy into anything, I suppose. But I thought that's the movie that was supposed to be the dark and gritty movie.
Right. So, not this one.
So now they're going to take the one that's supposed to be dark and gritty about a bunch of killers and inject levity into it. So I guess you'll see someone swinging off a rope before they fall to their death. I'm not quite sure. But that would be the one to make dark and gritty. And then you have, like I was saying, Harlequin for your comic relief every once in a while. But no, that's supposed to be the dark one. So I don't know what the heck they're thinking and why this pervading idea that, I guess they're going away from it with the humor a little bit, but that's only for, I guess to emulate Deadpool. But why they sort of feel this morose need in the DC universe is sort of beyond me.
Yeah. No. Well. It. I guess to me, in terms of certainly, what I saw in the trailer. Since as I've mentioned, I tend to avoid all the trailers to get released online. But just from what I've heard about this film, I mean, it's like, okay, you're gonna this film and inject humor into it, and what immediately pops into my mind is, so you're gonna try and make it like Clockwork Orange, maybe?
That would be an interesting thing to do. But what bothers me about this all this tinkering for Suicide Squad is that I feel like that was a movie that was so out of the mainstream of what they were doing that it had the chance to do something different in the MCEU that the other films that are currently in the sequence are going to struggle to do. And that was, it had its own identity. And now what's happening is that the network folks, the studio folks, excuse me, it is the WB we're talking about after all,
yes,
are tinkering the hell out of this movie. This movie is going from one person's idea of how to do a Suicide Squad movie, and it's turning into movie by committee. How has that ever worked? It hasn't.
No.
And I have a feeling that they're going to retool and reshoot and re-edit this movie into oblivion. And it's going to be this weird, inconsistent mess of a movie that people are going to sit back and go, does this even look like the trailer that they put out?
Well, you know, here's the sad thing, at least in my perspective, is that that's going to its failure would be credited because of Batman versus Superman. Even though if they had just kept it the way it was, it probably would have played out fine.
Well, I think that, unfortunately, I don't know that that's exactly what's going to happen or not. I think what'll happen is that it'll kind of implode, and people are going to think, oh, well, this movie never should have been made in the first place. I don't think they're going to – whether or not they blame the Batman versus Superman, at this point, Man of Steel was one dot that was a very controversial dot, but there were people who liked it, and there were people who didn't like it, and there were a whole lot of people that said, here are some of the issues that need to be addressed. And now we have a big stinking second dot called Batman versus Superman that is going – now we have a line. It's going in a direction. And I think a lot of people right now are very unhappy with the direction that it's going. What I'm worried is that they're going to try to course correct with Suicide Squad and completely mess it up, which is just going to put every other movie that might actually have a chance of setting a new course and probably put it in jeopardy. So they're really killing themselves with all this. I mean, they really are. Marvel, at this point, there are a lot of people who feel like they have to try to mess things up.
Well, I mean, you forget the first Hulk movie that came out.
They had to have several
Yeah, but that's the point, is that they did course correct and get back on track.
Oh, there are people that think that, you know, the first Thor movie is kind of sad and has issues, and there are people who really don't like Age of Ultron at all. But the fact of the matter is that when you hear about a new Marvel movie, the first thing that you think of is not, oh, God, how are they going to screw it up? Right now, I don't think there are a lot of people that are thinking, man, I cannot wait for Justice League Part 1. I think they're dreading, oh, what is he going to do next? They need if it were me, that I would be in charge of this whole thing, I would be rethinking Zack Snyder's role and basically everybody who is currently in charge of setting the direction of all this, and be like, get them out of here. We need to replace them with some people who actually have more than just a visual style. Either that or just let him direct, but give like, I don't know, don't give him the whole thing on a platter. Because I don't see where this is going. I don't get any feel for it. What I see is a bunch of all of his strengths are there, but all of his weaknesses are there too, and they're amplified now because he's gotten a $250 million budget for it. Now that said, the movie has made worldwide more than $500 million.
Yes.
And it's, you know, we're still talking about this.
Wouldn't you call that successful, John?
Yes. From that perspective, and that's the other thing is that they're not going to get rid of somebody that just delivered them that kind of money. Or they're going to simply say, and here's the part that worries me, is they're not going to listen to the criticism and say, these are all good points and let's do something about it. Oh, except for that Suicide Squad movie. That looks like it really should have been a Deadpool movie in the first place. So let's make it a Deadpool movie. They're going to go into that the boardroom. They're going to look at the numbers and say, all this proves is that the comic book geeks will hate this movie and still show up to it.
Right.
Because, yeah, they're right. At this point, until we see that it dropped off like 90% from weekend number one to weekend number two, which we're not going to see, maybe it won't have the legs that they want it to, but it may back its money easily. Maybe they'll scale back the budget on some of the other movies. Possibly. But I don't think you're going to see a wholesale reputation that, like, I want them to actually have, because it made the money, like you said, Gary. So what are you going to do? What, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to keep on going to the well.
Well, you say that, but at the same time, this was still sort of a new thing. While, you know, we've had Superman and Man of Steel movies, this was the first one where these people were actually supposed to be together on film. And at least for me as a longtime fan, it was more of a curiosity than a, oh gosh, I can't wait to see this movie. It was more like, what are they going to do? And now that I've seen what they do, I might not be as anxious to, you know, jump out and go see the next film.
Well, I'll tell you this. When there's a new Marvel movie, a lot of people I know are like, just they can't show up soon enough. And when they get out of the theater, they think to themselves, maybe they'll have a few criticisms here and there. But for the most part, they really enjoy themselves. I mean, think of something like Ant-Man. A lot of people came out of that surprised and loved it. Guardians of the Galaxy, Deadpool. I know people that are still cannot wait for Civil War. I know a lot of people that came out of this movie and said, that was a waste of my time. A complete waste of my time. So, yeah, at this point, like you said, Gary, maybe you know, it is an assumption that the audience is just going to show up. And again, what's the next movie in line that they may take it out on? Suicide Squad. So I think that movie is in. If it succeeds, it's going to be in spite of all of this nonsense, and I'll be rather surprised.
Well, and not to mention, I think that Deadpool had a little bit had more of a following than most of the characters in Suicide Squad. So.
Oh yeah, well, they're really playing up the Joker Harley side of that, big time. Because
well, they have to.
Yeah, that's all they've got. I mean, really. Now, I mean, the supreme irony here is that everybody came into this, or a lot of the DC people came into this thinking, boy, Batman versus Superman is coming first. Oh, it's going to just destroy. It's going to set the new standard. And boy, the Civil War coming in May is going to have a lot of ground they're going to need to make up. To me, it almost feels like, guys, you just set up Civil War to just waltz in and show you how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to have to really, really mess up Civil War for it to be anywhere close to this kind of reaction.
Well, it did end up in the comic books being a pretty messy event, all things said and done, and they had to retcon a lot of stuff out afterwards to keep the universe running. So,
yeah, but in the MCU, they may not have that much trouble.
Yeah, I really don't know that they would, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see very shortly. We'll see in about a month, right? It's early May that it comes out. So, yeah, we'll see soon. But okay. So we're pretty much at the end of our hour here. Gary, last thoughts on Batman versus Superman?
There were a lot of shining points in it. It just never came together.
Mm. Edmund?
A couple of interesting ideas embedded in there at the beginning, but never followed through, and just ended in silly slugfest.
Mm. I think that this one is perhaps best described on my end as woulda, coulda, shoulda. So many ways. But that's about it for now. We are going to be wrapping up this week here. And as I said, we're going to be taking off this weekend. I'm actually going to be at a con with some of our friends at VogNetwork.com, one of our other shows, Anime Jam Session. I'm going to be hanging out with them at an event called Zenkai Con. So it's an anime sci-fi convention. So looks to be quite a lot of fun. So, yep, not going to be around to record this weekend, so we'll have a week off, and then we'll be back with 2 weeks' worth of episodic discussion and news to get through. So, there you go. Any last thoughts for the week, gentlemen?
No, I'd better get back to the TV since we have so much to catch up on for next week.
That's right. Okay, well, until next time.
And so ends another epic episode of The Critical Myth. If you want to leave a comment for this show, head over to vognetwork.com. Not only can you find links to the podcast version of each show, but there is a dedicated forum, a ton of written reviews, and related articles by the crew throughout the site. For the written reviews, you can even leave your own review, so let us know if you agree or not. You can also leave comments on our Facebook page, Critical Myth, on Twitter at Critical Myth, or Google Plus under the Critical Myth Show. Any and all use of copyrighted material is only intended for discussion, commentary, parody, or educational purposes, in accordance with U.S. Code Title 17, also known as Fair Use. In other words, please don't sue us. And of course, the statements and opinions of the Critical Myth crew are not necessarily those of the VOG network, its partners, or affiliates. But let's face it, we're probably right anyway. Until next time, watch, read, and listen, and believe in the Critical Myth.